Our scripture reading today is 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. Let's read together. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Remember that Paul, in the book of 1 Timothy, is telling Timothy what he needs to concentrate on as far as his teaching is concerned. Timothy is working with the church at Ephesus, and Paul is teaching him about what he really needs to focus on in the doctrine of Christ. And here, he tells Timothy what to teach about taking care of widows. Now, we've just begun this section. The whole section on widows goes from verse 3 all the way through verse 16. So we'll take this a step and a section at a time. But what we find is that this is the longest section in the New Testament on the subject of widows. Caring for widows is and always has been a very important responsibility for God's people. The Old Testament is full of verses that talk about caring for widows and orphans and strangers. And James 1, verse 27, which is a very familiar verse to many people, says it this way: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit, that is to take care of, to see to the needs of, the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So this is pure religion. When you talk about pure religion, the Bible shows that it is very important and it is absolutely essential that we take care of widows. And Paul talks about that here, beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. He says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, the important thing to remember about the word honor is that that does involve respecting them. It does include that. But it also includes helping them financially. It means to help them and to support them and assist them in material needs, in physical needs. It's not just the respect that is due to them. It is the financial help, the material assistance that Paul is talking about in this context. And that's going to be very clear as we go throughout this whole chapter of 1 Timothy. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, that we are to honor our father and mother. And in Jesus' discussion with the Jews in Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, he shows that that honor includes helping them when they need that kind of assistance. And then in verse 4, Paul says, but, which shows that he's making a contrast to what he just said in verse 3. In verse 3, he's talking about widows indeed, that is, widows that are truly widows. They are really destitute, and they truly need help. In contrast to that kind of situation, in verse 4, Paul talks about a widow that has children or, as the King James says, nephews. The word nephews here is translated in the New King James Version, grandchildren. This Greek word, which is translated nephews in the King James Version and grandchildren in the New King James Version, is a word that can mean descendants in general, but generally it's thought here to refer to the grandchildren of this widow. So why did the King James Version translators use the word nephews here rather than grandchildren if that truly is the meaning of this Greek word? Well, the King James Version was translated in 1611, and sometimes it uses words that in English are obsolete or outdated. And in this case, the word nephew is a word that many years ago in English did refer to a grandson. Webster says that one of the definitions or meanings of nephew is, and he gives it here, I quote, obsolete, a lineal descendant, especially a grandson. That's Webster talking about how this word was used years ago. So in the minds of the King James Version translators, they were translating it with a word that did refer to grandchildren. So the whole idea here is that these family members of this widow have the obligation before God to help her, to take care of her. He says, if any widow have children or nephews or grandchildren, let them, the children and the grandchildren of this widow, let them learn first to show piety at home. Sometimes we hear and we use the saying, charity begins at home. Well, we don't find those exact words in the Bible, but we do find that idea here in 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, don't we? The Bible says that the children and the grandchildren of a widow have the obligation to take care of her, to show piety. The word piety means to be respectful. It means to be reverent and devout toward that widow. Now, this is just another way of saying what he says in verse 3, and that is they are to honor, they are to take care of this person. He says, let them first learn to show piety at home. Actually, in the Greek here, it's even more pointed because literally it says one's own home, that is one's own family. And then Paul says something else that's very interesting and very pointed as well. After he says that the children and the grandchildren of this widow are to take care of her, he says they are to learn first to show piety at home, that is toward this widow. He says then that they are to requite their parents. The word requite means to repay. They are to repay their parents. The children and the grandchildren are to be there to help support their aged and ailing parents and grandparents. And this is only right. It only makes sense because parents put countless hours and energy and tears and money into raising a child. It takes a lot of work and a lot of money to raise a child, and parents know that, and grandparents realize that. So it's only right for a grown, able child to give back to his parents and his grandparents. Children owe their parents a lot. Aged and ailing parents don't owe their children, who are able-bodied and able to work, their children owe them. Now, this is why Jesus rebuked the Jews for a tradition that they came to call Corban. You read about this in Mark 7, verses 9 through 13. And the Corban tradition basically said that if a Jewish man or woman had money, had means of some kind, to help his aged or ailing parent or parents, and he didn't want to help his parents, he could simply say Corban, which means a gift, and he could refuse to help his parents on the grounds that he was going to give that money to the temple. And Jesus said, what you've done is you have set aside the law of God, which said, honor your father and your mother. You have set aside the law of God because of your own tradition. Now, it's good to remember why Paul brings this up here. There were many widows in Paul's day. There were many widows at the time that Paul wrote these words. And so Paul says this, if one of those widows has family members, then those family members need to take care of her. If she has children and grandchildren, then they need to support her. But if a widow doesn't have any family members, that's when the church steps in. And he's going to talk about that in verse 16. Now, in the next verse, in verse 5, Paul talks about a true widow who needs support. That is, she needs support from the church. He says in verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed, that is truly a widow, and desolate. The word desolate means that she is alone. She doesn't have anybody to help her. And the Bible goes on to describe her as a woman who trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Here is a woman who has lost her husband, and she has learned to look to God. She has learned to depend on God even more as the only one that is going to help her. So this widow is a woman that has turned hardship into even greater faith. She's lost the most important person in her life. She's lost the person that she has depended on for all those years. And she has drawn closer to God because of her loss. And of course, that's the way that it should be. We ought to turn trials into greater faith in the sight of God. So in verse 5, we have a woman who has made the best out of a bad situation. It's an ideal situation in one way, although it's not ideal in another sense. It's not an ideal situation because here's a woman who's married to a man and that man dies and she's left all alone. So that's not the ideal kind of circumstance. But her own faith and her own spiritual condition is ideal because she is praying day and night. She is drawing closer to God. And that is the best thing that she can do. That is the right thing to do. On the other hand, some widows are not like her. There were some widows in Paul's day that instead of turning to God and trusting in Him, turned against God. And he talks about that kind of widow in verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. These widows in Paul's day, who had lost their husbands, instead of drawing closer to God, instead of being more godly, decided that they were going to live in pleasure. They decided that they were going to live in sin. The death of a husband ought to cause any woman to turn to God even more. The death of a husband, the death of a mate, ought to cause a person to realize how fragile life is. That kind of loss ought to make a person humble and ought to make that person look to God and depend totally upon Him. But sadly, there are some people, after they sustain that great loss, who turn away from God instead of to God. Now, Paul is going to talk about these widows even more in verses 11 through 15. But right here, he does describe them. He talks about the fact that tragedy does humble some people, but not others, because he says in verse 6, but in contrast to verse 5, you see, you have to read verse 5 to get the full point here. In verse 5, here's a widow that has lost her husband, but she's trusting in God, and she's praying day and night. But in verse 6, this woman is not trusting in God, and she's not praying to God day and night. She is living it up. But she that lives in pleasure, that is, a widow that lives in pleasure, is dead while she lives. She's dead spiritually. She's a walking dead woman. She may think that she's really living. She may think that she's really happy. She may tell other people that she's really happy. And other people may think that she's full of life and fun to be around, but if she's living in pleasure, if she's living in sin instead of living for God, she's dead inside. This is what sin does. And the sad fact is that there are many people today who are very much alive physically, but like this woman in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, they are dead on the inside. They are dead spiritually. And in the verses that follow, we're going to talk more about this great subject of taking care of widows in 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 through 16.